Jacques Fesch was born on April 6, 1930 in France into a wealthy family. His father was a successful banker from Belgium who was also an artist and an atheist and had little to do with his boy. Jacques, raised a Catholic by his mom, was somewhat of a dreamer. He was also lazy and showed no ambition for anything. His parents divorced when he was 17, and this is where Jacques became self-absorbed, and misconduct became so poor that his school expelled him. His father gave him a job at his bank, but Jacques, who had already abandoned his Catholic faith, began to party and get into trouble. Jacques' girlfriend, Pierrette, became pregnant, and when Jacques was 21, he and Pierrette were married in a civil ceremony. He resigned his position at his father's bank and began to carouse and do nothing meaningful. He ignored his wife and baby and fathered another child with another woman. Jacques was now 24 years old. He had a wife, a daughter, and another child with his mistress. He was overwhelmed and asked his rich father if he would buy him a boat to sail to Tahiti, but his father refused. Desperate to escape the life he had made for himself, Jacques Fesch got a gun and attempted to rob a currency dealer named Alexandra Silberstein. Jacques hit him over the head, but Silberstein managed to sound the alarm. A policeman named Jean Van was nearby and ran to the scene. Jacques, running from the scene, turned and fired wildly back at the oncoming officer, hitting him three times in the heart, killing him at the scene, and leaving three bystanders wounded. Jacques Fesch was captured minutes later as he attempted to run into the metro. Now, headlines about the atrocity exploded all over France, and the slain officer's funeral procession was on all the television newscasts. At his trial, Jacques was surly and unrepentant, which made it easy for the court to find him guilty and sentence him to the guillotine. Jacques was held in solitary confinement at La Santa prison in Paris. When the prison chaplain first approached the condemned man, Jacques sent him away. But the chaplain kept trying, and the two eventually became close. During this time, an old friend of Jacques was ordained a priest. He began to visit him. The third individual in Jacques' will of conversion was his attorney. His name was Baudet, and he was a devout Catholic. The three men worked together as instruments of the graces flowing from above. The condemned man began to examine his life. Accepting the pain and anguish he had caused for so many, he underwent a conversion. Jacques returned to his Catholic faith, embracing it with all his heart. As he sat down on death row, Jacques had a forceful, even violent conversion experience. The realization of everything he had done crashed down upon him. Then, as Jacques put it, "The Spirit of the Lord seized me by the throat." From that moment, Jacques was a changed man. He begged the prison chaplain to hear his confession. He began to pray. He tried to repair the breach with his family. "Do not ask God to save such and such a person, or to help this one or that, but ask him that you may love him, and that his will may be done. You must talk with him familiarly and explain to him that you want to love him well, but that you can't do it, that many things seem obscure and illogical to you, and that you would like to understand them a little better, and do not hesitate all day long to invoke heaven." Jacques now considered his cell a cloister. He read the spiritual biographies of Saint Francis of Assisi and Saint Therese of Lisieux. He kept a spiritual journal that would one day capture the imagination of many with a passionate devotion to the Virgin Mary. A year after being in prison, he wrote to his young daughter saying, "3 days ago, I regained my faith. For the second time in my life, the scales fall from my eyes and I can see God's mercy." Now in prison, he sought to improve his relationship with his wife and his father and bring them to the faith. A month before his death, he wrote, "The Lord continues to fill me with gifts, and I can feel my heart overflow with love, and my lips with thanksgiving." He was behind bars when he began coming closer to God and wrote about the comfort and joy he received in prayer. However, he also recounts his moments of anguish in facing his imminent death. Jacques' writings are an account of his repentance, but are also an example of faith and hope in divine mercy. Referring to his imminent execution, he calls it a bad quarter of an hour compared to eternity. "We must pray without ceasing. I am not afraid to die, but I am afraid of not dying a Christian. Life is, nevertheless, a great blessing." 2 months before his execution, he wrote in a letter to his mother-in-law, "Here is where the cross and its mystery of suffering make their appearance. The whole of life has this piece of wood as its center. we can have no genuine hope of peace and salvation apart from Christ crucified. Happy the man who understands this. He reconciled with his wife the night before he died. On October 1, 1957, almost 6 months after sentencing, Jacques Fetch was executed for his crimes. He offered his life for his father and all those whom he loved. He was fully reconciled to Pierrette the night before his execution. In his last journal entry, he wrote, "In 5 hours, I shall look upon Jesus." Jacques' wife, Pierrette, and his daughter, Veronica, tried to publish his letters as an example of redemption. At first, no one was interested, but with the help of a Carmelite nun and a priest named Father Augustin Michel, they published his works. From the 1970s until today, these works have served as an inspiration for many. Pray for us sinners, Jacques Fetch, now and at the hour of our death.